Welcome to the Coder Catch Up podcast. My name is Jamie Jones. In this episode, we're going to be talking about all the new releases with GitHub. And this is all announced at GitHub Universe. And I'm going to follow this in the same format as what I did with episode 85, where I talked about GitLab and how GitLab was kind of crushing GitHub with some of these new features that were launching. But it seems like GitHub's kind of listened to my podcast and have decided to actually take on board and build these features. Not really. It'd be funny if that was actually the case, but no. But it's interesting to see that both these players in Git and version control hosting, they're actually following that same kind of path into project management. And so there's a lot of stuff they've done here with that announcement, and they're the ones I'm going to focus on. So what I was going to do is pretty much parallel the episode 85, where I talk through the actual release notes and then give my comments on actually using those features. So I'm going to be running through the GitHub Universe blog post here by Defunct and just giving you my thoughts and comparisons as well. All right, so the first thing I'm going to get into is projects. So projects is essentially their version of Trello within GitHub repository. So essentially, you've got your normal Kanban boards, but it integrates with issues, pull requests, and also just general notes. So this is really nice how you can add that flow in there. So you've got kind of access to everything plus just general notes if you want to do that. The other thing with projects, which is really interesting, is they actually allow you to add multiple projects per repository. Now, this is really handy because you might want to split up different quote-unquote projects within your repository. So you might have different like tracks and you have your own boards for those. So that's really nice there that they can split that up. I don't believe you can do that in GitLab. So that's a little bit nicer what they've done there. I think it makes it a lot more flexible. Some of the other features too is when you add notes, you can actually turn them into like issues and things like that. So you can create notes to kind of talk about and then maybe turn into an issue, which then can be resolved, like pulled into pull requests and such. So it's nice that they've done that there. There is more to be coming. So what they've covered here, I'll just go over the stuff that they're currently supporting in this initial release. So they're going to be adding more and more to projects, but this is the stuff you get right now, and it works quite well. I'm quite impressed with how it all works. So a new projects tab at the same level as code issue pull requests within a repository, and that lists all your projects up. The main navigation bar within your repositories is now a projects tab there. Workflow columns that you can name and reorder, so each of your they're calling them columns, but essentially you can then move them, rename them, order them, all that kind of stuff. The cards you can drag and drop between columns, you can point them to issues, pull requests, or notes. And there's tools built on top of projects by some fantastic partners like Waffle.io and ZenHub, so it's nice that they've got that there as well. The next one, which I think this is the other number two big thing, is they've titled it Code Better with Reviews. So this is their essentially their reviewing process, which is really being needed in pull requests, and I think it's pretty important. So traditionally, you just had comments, but they could be glossed over or missed or not actioned. Reviews actually force or can force you to action, have actionable items. So what you do is just go in, you find a bit of code, you go to do your normal comment. There's a start review button, and from there, it provides actionable items. And you can set for the repository whether you want the pull request to not be mergeable unless all the items are actually reviewed and passed or made changes, whatever needs to happen. So you can actually set that there so make sure nothing gets missed. So this is something really important because I've seen it time and time again in various different projects and teams where you can write a comment and maybe you might miss it or gloss over it. You made some changes, but you actually missed one point and then, you know, it just gets merged in. It's like, well, we really needed this. Got to go issue another pull request. And it's just frustrating. So it's nice that they've got that review system there. So it allows you to just generally comment, you can request changes, or you can approve. So it's really nice that they've added that kind of workflow. And again, as I said, it's something that's been really needed, and I think that's probably more so the headlining feature for me, especially if you're merging in and working with quite a number of developers. It's good to keep that flow and make sure things are happening as they're supposed to. So with that requirement to down the bottom where you normally have like your CI integrations, your other things that need to pass, all those kind of checks, it comes up there as well. And it will let you know if there's X reviews that have been either accepted or need to be actioned and things like that. So it's good that they've got them there. Moving on to some of the other stuff, one of the other big ones, which is really interesting, and you're going to probably see this happen quite a lot, and or at least more software shifting to it, is GraphQL. So they've got it titled here, the GitHub GraphQL API Early Access. So I'm going to read a little extract here. So the GraphQL API simplifies your product development by letting developers access all the data they need and only the data they need with one API call. With the GitHub GraphQL API, you get the same API we use to build GitHub features. So to learn more, you can go check out their engineering blog in regards to that. So if you're not too sure what GraphQL is, it's a graph database, and they kind of map things to their internal API. So it means you can send kind of what you want in the response as the actual payload, and you'll actually get the same data back. So it's nice that you don't have to, you know, send it in a certain format and it'll come back in a different format, and you have to work around with that, as well as you then have to hit multiple other API endpoints. With GraphQL, it's just a single endpoint. You send it what data you want and it gives you the data back. There is some slight variance in regards to that depending on, you know, access and stuff like that, but that's something for you to dive in and check out. But this is something really nice and really impressive. I think Facebook uses this quite heavily, and it just allows you to not have to worry about versioning your API so much. And it's like, oh, there's a new particular client that's connecting. It expects something slightly different, so it's a pain. So with this GraphQL, you can actually just send what you want and get back what you want. So that's nice there. They've also upgraded their permissions system. So what they've done is, I'll read the actual extract here. So over the last few years, we've rolled out LDAP and CAS to securely and efficiently manage permissions on GitHub Enterprise. So now we're making sure businesses on GitHub.com have the tools they need to automate identity and access management. Our first public launch is a SAML-based single sign-on option. Administrators will have the ability to manage their GitHub users through the identity provider that already manages access to the host of applications they use in their current workflow. This option isn't ready quite yet, but it will launch as a beta in the coming months. So that's pretty impressive to actually be bringing that into GitHub.com. So that's a nice thing that they've brought back in there. So if anyone's in need of that kind of thing, especially more in your big organizations, it's nice that they're going to have that there now. There's some more stuff here that they're titling Get Help from the GitHub Community. So I'm going to read this abstract as well, not extract. We're grateful to have a community of more than 16 million developers. While developers gain experience implicitly on GitHub as they work alongside other developers, we know that's not enough. To help, we're creating a dedicated space for you to learn from each other and to have conversations about GitHub itself. The GitHub Community Forum will become a place where developers can talk shop, get help, and learn together. It will also help us introduce new features and improvements and give developers the ability to share thoughts and feedback with us directly. Look out for the GitHub Community Forum in 2017. This is a pretty big thing. I think this is going to be a bigger deal than what it seems. So I'm impressed to see, and I'm curious to see where this is going to go. But I definitely feel like there's going to be a lot of big changes coming up in the next 12 to 18 months with GitHub. So it's going to be one of those things that are going to help shape that experience. The next thing, which I think this is awesome and I'm glad it's actually happening, and that's updates to your profile. So your profile now contains your entire history of work on GitHub, from your first commit to your most recent pull request. And a per repository breakdown reveals what you're spending your time each month. You can see special events in your history, the day you sign up for GitHub, open your first pull request, or join an organization, and showcase your best work for work by pinning favorite projects to your profile. There's a whole video in regards to all that kind of stuff, a bunch of documentation. Now, with that, there's kind of two views. So there's one where you're authenticated and you can see certain stuff. So I can see all my private contributions, for example. But if you are not privy to that information, it just shows that there's been like X commits on a private in private repositories. I think it actually bundles them all together in for various date ranges. This is something you have to look at visually to kind of understand, but it's kind of like a timeline, like a vertical timeline, and it just groups the information there. But it's really nice how it does it. How the information presented is really well done, which is something I really like. So that's generally the main changes. There's a few other things. I recommend checking out the blog post there to get a full detail. It's a pretty long blog post. But these are the features that GitHub really needed. And as I outlined in episode 85 in regards to GitLab integrating these kind of features, you can see that it's definitely necessary, and GitHub's actually listening to the community and really pushing these things forward, and they're doing a really good job with them. So hats off to all the engineers, designers, UX, QA, everyone who's kind of contributed to getting these features out. They've done a fantastic job, as always, so really impressive to see, and it's fantastic to use. So if you haven't used it, I recommend trying it out, whether it be on a personal project or a team project, whatever. Get in there and give it a go. I think it's going to change how we think of project management and maybe bring people into the one place. As I explained in episode 85, it's nice having a single point to work with things. So instead of having to go off to Trello or something similar, you can do it all within GitHub itself. So it's nice there. It also reduces that barrier for getting non-tech or people who aren't used to the kind of the GitHub way of things and getting them in there easily. But anyway, that's essentially it. I'd love to know your thoughts on the announcements. What do you think about it? Are you happy about these changes? What would you just see? What would you like to see changed? Is there anything that you're not quite happy with? Other than that, I'd really love to know your thoughts. You can send through a tweet to @CodaCatchUp on Twitter. You can send through an email to codacatchup@gmail.com, or you can just leave a comment on codacatchup.com for this episode. But that's essentially it. I'd also appreciate if you could like, subscribe, leave a rating or review in iTunes, any of that kind of stuff. I'd really appreciate it. Share this episode with your friends. But other than that, we'll catch you in the next episode.